Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tea with Crema. My name is Chris, and I'll be one of your hosts today. And I'm joined by my best friend, Emma.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Our episode today is a very special one for so many reasons. The big part of it is that we have now officially scheduled breaks in Tea with Crema episodes and seasons. And so today's episode actually marks the end of season 4.
Cue. Applause.
My favorite part is that we have like scheduled breaks as opposed to just like, oh my God, we disappeared for 3 months. What happened? And so it's really great to go into our second official little Tea with Crema break. And so, yes, today is the final episode of season 4. We're very much looking forward to taking some time off, resting, recharging, and being ready to go with season 5 coming soon. Dates and logistics and all that fun stuff to be announced later. But we've also learned that we were doing vision boards a few years and realized that we didn't actually talk about the vision boards again until the end of the year. And so today's episode is a check-in, a mid-year check-in for our 2024 vision boards that we created just to see how's it going? Are we on track? Are we doing the things that we said that we were going to do? Or has this year taken a wild set of left turns? That's what we're figuring out today. Before we begin, our tea check is still at the beginning. So Emma, what tea did you bring today?
Today I'm drinking because it's summertime in Japan. It's officially starting. We had the big rain. Now it's the big heat. I'm drinking an apple refresh tea. It's very delicious. It's very refreshing. And I was going to say, and it's apple season. It's not apple season in Japan. So that's not true. Anyway, what are you drinking today?
Today, I actually brought 2 teas.
Ooh, 2-fer.
Over a tea-ver.
Ha. Ha. Add laugh track.
But like the dry laughter track right there. So my first tea that I brought, I turned into an iced tea, and it is from Celestial Seasonings, which is why I brought 2, because it's not necessarily unique, but it is the Vitamin C Shine from Celestial Seasonings, and I just got it because I figured that based on the ingredients, it would be a nice summer iced tea, because a lot of Celestial Seasonings teas do very well in iced versions. And I immediately regretted turning this one into an iced tea. It needed to be hot.
Oh, no.
This was definitely one of the few that I was like, oh, no, I've made an error in judgment. Any of their other ones are great as iced tea. Vitamin C Shine needed to be not iced. It just had a weird, like, back flavor. It was soft. Like, it was very orange forward, but, like, I don't
right.
know. The back flavors did not do well cold. I don't know what happened.
Did it taste, like, too artificial?
I wouldn't say that. In fact, it almost tasted too natural, actually.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like, you know, how some ingredients just don't like certain temperatures. And I don't know what ingredients don't like being cold in this tea. Because I brewed mm-hmm. it hot and then chilled it to room temperature and then put it in the refrigerator. But yeah, something about this tea was not a fan of being cold, and I will not do this one again. It was a good tea, probably when it was hot, but not cold. Actually, it was. I tried it when it was hot. And so that's one of the teas that I brought. The unique tea that I brought is from a company called Tea Vivre, and it is a Iron Goddess Oolong tea from China. Mm-hmm. And its taste is described as a unique vegetal taste for a Shaoqing tea. Fresh and brisk. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about this tea wasn't so much the taste of it, because it was very straightforward oolong, like a darker oolong tea. So I feel like that description was pretty accurate. It wasn't super unique or anything. But what I really liked is that when the tea went into the container before it was steeped, it was just kind of like little clumps. The best way I could describe it is like a pebble. Oh. And then as you steeped it, the leaves actually like opened up.
And oh, so cool.
By the time it was done steeping, it looked completely different. So that part was really cool just watching it. But overall, I would say a very solid, like 3.5, 4 out of 5 star tea. If you like oolong, then it does the does what it's supposed to do. No fancy flavors. It just is solid, high quality tea.
I love that. So,
jumping on into it, looking at our vision board, I'm super excited to hear about how yours is going, in part because I don't remember what it even looks like, because of course I don't. And I've been having some really mixed feelings with mine. I'm very excited to do my 2025 vision board because...
Oh no! We still have 6 months!
Tell me about it. I'm glad we're doing a check-in.
I love that. So how about I start? Because it seems like you have had some really strong feelings. So just so like a quick recap of, I guess let's go with our categories and then we'll go into how has 2024 been. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah. Okay. So quick recap for my categories. I chose 6 categories and I only did 1 goal for each, because in the past I've done kind of just like a very free form vision board. So this year I decided to be like super intentional about the 6 categories that I chose, and then only trying to, you know, make sure that I hit that goal. So I did physical health, travel, mental health, relationships, financial, and intellectual. So far, I've been pretty good at the mental health one. I did start therapy, and I've been going to it, which has been great. But I also put that I would start journaling again. I bought the journal. I have the things for the journal, have not fully journaled yet. For physical health, I said that I was going to begin marathon training, which I have. And then I got really sick, so then I stopped. So I need to get back on that, which is my summer goal, is actually to start training again more consistently. For the others, I will say, like, yeah, I'm almost there. But again, we're only halfway through the year, which is great. But this is also the episode for making some slight changes. What about you? Give us a recap on your categories.
I only made 4 categories this year, and I did it on body, experience, finances, and reading. And honestly, yeah, it's been a journey, an adventure. I'm not doing the things, but I wonder in part if I set myself up for failure in a different way this year than I have in the past. Yeah, it's just different. I do have the categories and I am doing things as it relates to said categories, but like...
Can you give us an example?
My vision board this year, I think, was too rigid.
Interesting.
It didn't leave any room for any flexible approaches to anything that could happen unplanned or unscheduled. Mm. And so... Like, for example, the experiences that I put under experiences, there's not really anything that's like super risky. There's some things that were kind of already inevitabilities for the year. So going on a cruise, I'd already bought the everything to go on said cruise. There was no like, oh, I wonder if, as far as like the 30th birthday, I'm turning 30 this year, no matter what. It's just gonna happen. Like, why is that on here? And then... For the budgeting, it was adding a certain amount of money into the bank, which I've done almost the exact same for like 2 years now. So it's like at this point, okay. I will say like the budgeting I've been better at. I did have a runaway spending problem in the year 2023, and I have been far more disciplined in the year 2024. And I'm on track to hitting my 12 or more books. But I think, yeah, the vision board this year was just very...
Safe,
it lacked vision. It lacked vision. It's just a board of things that I had already knew that I was going to do.
I wonder, and I remember us planning the episode and like talking about everything, and we were like so freeform in 2023. No, 20. What year are we in? Yeah, 2023. So we were really freeformed, right? And it was like almost a little too whimsical. And I remember you saying specifically in the 2024 episode was the thing that you enjoyed about your 2023 episode or your 2023 vision board was that you had that like tracker and you met it. You know, it was like kind of like tangible. So I wonder if in that way you're thinking like, okay, what are things that I for sure can cross off? And there's like a balance, right? Like there's a balance where yes, you're going on a cruise, but like, okay, let's like envision more beyond that. So it's almost like you put all the things that you knew for sure you were going to check off more or less, mm-hmm. rather than, yeah, like let's envision farther than that. So it's like you went from one extreme to the other extreme.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just did too much control over things. And so it's left very little room for flexibility. And I mean, the only feedback that I have for myself is I need to recalibrate, like, what is my intentionality behind the vision board, actually?
Right.
I have to go back to the literal drawing board and start again and figure out, like, okay, why are you doing this? What are you trying to get out of it? And honestly, is it about accomplishing the things that you've put on the board as specifically and directly as you've put it on there? Or is it something more metaphorical? Is it more about just being cognizant, open, aware? And I think there's room for both experiences in different aspects and components of the vision board. But I did not find, I think part of it is like, yes, I saw myself going from like the whimsical part into now I've created this like very rigid, narrow idea of what the year needs to be in terms of like checking off boxes. And I did this, I did this, I did this. And so maybe it comes from, and I think it got to this because I was using the vision board as that, essentially, of like,
right,
I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And so I think I really need to kind of like take a step back and recalibrate my intentions around a vision board, because yes, it's made, I think it has contributed to making the unplanned parts of the year much more challenging. Because I don't necessarily feel as though any part of my vision board has challenged me to go with the unknown.
Yeah. So then, okay, so we're at the halfway part, right? So since you know this, right, you're seeing that this board is very rigid, do you envision yourself like shifting a little bit, maybe adding more, or is this kind of like, this is the board for the year. I'm going to start again in 2025.
I think this is the board for the year. And because like the types of, I think there is merit to what I was trying to accomplish. And the experience of realizing that, oh, this did not work. Yeah, nope, I have to recalibrate entirely. But I also don't want to then try to rush myself through another process. And then, not to say I'm getting it wrong per se, but, you know, I don't want to rush through another process to try to get another vision board for the other half of the year in an attempt to like salvage it, when I could maybe just take that time to just be, maybe not be as married to the vision board in its current iteration, and maybe just be open to some other types of experiences, just have a growth mindset kind of thing, and then kind of allow that to also inform and shape what could be beneficial for the 25 board. In what ways can I let go of the rigidity of the 24 vision board? And I think that might be 25, is like embracing a little chaos, embracing the unknown.
Right.
Because that's not easy for me at all. Not even a little bit.
I was going to say, I think that that's also partially part of it, right? Like, you very much like to know, right? You like to know what things are happening. So a little chaos might be good for your spirit in 2025. Who knows? Not too much chaos. A little bit of controlled chaos is what I like to call it. Yeah, I've put on mine, like, finding a rhythm, which I felt I have kind of found a rhythm, but not too much. Like, so I know that that's something I definitely want to work on as we go into the latter half of the year. You know, I finished my first year in this role, and I can remember at that time when I was making the board, I knew I was about to go into a chaotic second half of the year, which is why I was like hoping for peace, did not get peace. So I'm hoping for peace again as we start the school year. I also put like learning the art of saying no, which has always been really hard for me to be able to like say no and stand firm in it. So again, still working on that and learning, you know, how to set very intentional boundaries of, there are things that I have time and capacity for versus there are things that will not bring me joy in the end. So all good things, all fun things. I did put Fuji on here because I did want to hike Fuji, which may or may not happen. It has to happen in the next 2 months if it is going to happen, though, because that's the season. Yeah, that's the only time you can hike Fuji, is from June to August.
But that's the only time you're allowed to hike it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a seasonal.
Yeah, because if not, then you'll die.
Oh,
because it's
well, that's helpful.
Yeah. So if you ever want to hike Fuji, I mean, you can do it like during the winter time or during those off months, but during summer is like when everything is kind of set up. They have the little huts along the way. They have food along the way. Otherwise, it's just a very long hike.
Oh, there's no ceremony or occasion in it. No pomp and circumstance. It just kind of
it's just a long walk. Yeah.
I will say, okay, so a thing that you mentioned that I have a question about, you talked about like the peace thing, but like outside of saying, I want peace, what things are you trying to like, I guess, because I don't know if the peace will ever come externally.
I think that's what it is. It's like a, it's an internal peace.
What that internal's looking like.
Right. In its current state. I think something that was really interesting for this year was that I felt like everything was so chaotic, and my natural default reaction to chaos is often to get very like chill. But if I get to a point where I'm too chill, that's when we should be worried because I'm low-key shutting down. So something that did get brought up a lot in the end of this school year was people were like, wow, you were like so chill. Like you were like, there were so many things that were going wrong and you handled it really well. And I was like, oh yeah, because internally I was crying every day. Like, so I think peace to me just feels like, yeah, I think being able to let go a little bit and like, don't have to control every single aspect. Like you don't have to have your hand in every single thing. It's okay. Like let the chaos go and let it be what it's going to be, and understand that there will be consequences to that and you'll just have to ride it out. So I think there's like a level of peace that I'm just looking for within, and that might more have to do with like my heightened anxiety through a lot of this past year. So I guess it just looks like actually being chill when I look chill.
And figuring out some techniques to actually make that happen. Because it's definitely more than just saying, I want to be relaxed.
Right. It's like getting to a point where I can be okay with saying it is what it's going to be. And being okay, like that I've done everything that I could to this thing for this decision.
Yeah, it ain't easy. But that's kind of part of the journey. And I think that's part of the purpose of the vision boards is to really look at like, cool, we talked about it, but are we doing anything or are we just kind of out here? There's a fine medium of like, am I, again, now I fall into like too rigid of check, 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 check. But then also we can't just be out here saying like, I want world peace. Okay. But like,
but how like
really though?
And where are you going to get that? Yeah. I think there's like a lot on here, you know, just like even the, so it's funny because before it used to say strengthening sisterhood, but I think the sisterhood was not glued on very well, so it fell off. So now it just says strengthening. So I don't know what I'm strengthening. Maybe my body. I think that's what it is. Strengthening resolve.
Your inner peace. You're strengthening
your peace. Yeah, strengthening your peace. Yeah, I'm strengthening my inner peace. So, you know, there was definitely one on there that was like, continue to cultivate relationships and stay in touch. I think I have a tendency to like go hermit mode if I can and will. So that's definitely something in the next year I'll have to work on being better about. I did put, like, I wanted to read at least 5 professional development books. I'm at 0.
Because they're boring and they
they're
suck.
So boring. Like, I just wish people who are writing PD books were just have a little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of sass, something. But they are so hard to get through.
They are dry. So dry.
And I feel bad for saying that because I know that they try really hard.
I don't know. Some of them are just facts. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I've read nonfiction books that don't just read as just facts. So I know that there's a way to write a book that's not just like, step 1, do this. Step 2, do this. Step 3, regurgitate some information that I read on a meta study about all of these other, like, it just, there's other ways to do it. And then, I don't know, I feel like unless someone else is also reading the book with you and helping to synthesize ideas, all of these things that you used to do in college and didn't even realize it, because again, sometimes the practical application was like nonsensical, but
those discussion groups, they definitely were doing something.
A little something. Why were we talking about random books that I don't care about still in my life? Like, okay. But, you know, maybe if we'd really emphasize the habits of discussion as opposed to, like, the literary devices used in the book of Mice and Men by Johnson. Like, who cares about that book?
But you know what? Knowing our teachers, especially I feel like in high school, they probably did explain. We just were not listening.
Also very possible, very likely, especially with me. That's it is what it is. But I'm at this point, recalibrating my entire 2024 because it has been legitimately rough. There have been some like very wild things happening in the year 2024. I'm very excited to share about all of it when we do our end of year episode. I think no small part of that is because I don't like speaking on events that aren't done. And I am still very much on this roller coaster of 2024. I very much hope that it smooths out very soon, very, very soon. But I don't want to speak on something that hasn't kind of come to its resolution. And so just know by the end of 2024, I will have an answer on how things went. And I'm very hopeful that this was the valley part of the year and the rest is just peaks.
Just peaks, or riding up to the peak.
Because, whew, it's been rough. That's not to say that there haven't been bright moments. I don't want anyone to like hear this and be like, oh my God, he's miserable. Not miserable, just a lot. It's the best way I could possibly frame it, I guess. So yay, I'm so excited.
We did it.
Any other recalibrations that you're thinking of making for the rest of the year?
Yeah, definitely should probably get back into journaling. I've done the thing. I actually realized that I think a lot of my problems lie with, and again, this is like TikTok therapizing me instead of actual therapy. So I am receiving real therapy on top of the TikTok therapy. One of them was saying that when you like say the things that you're planning to do, your brain, for some people, has already thought that you've done it. So then it's harder for you to try to reach those goals. Not harder for you to reach those goals, but it's like one part of your brain that's like, oh, like we've done the thing. So they said, this one person that was like, in certain, you know, minds or certain brains and the way that they're programmed, you cannot say the thing that you want to do until you've done it or until you've finished it, because by saying it out loud and like naming it for a lot, for some people, it makes it seem as though like it's done. So
interesting.
Who knows what the validity to that is.
You see what happens.
Yeah, is this what the people talk about when they're saying that they're moving in silence?
They're not telling anyone, including themselves.
Right.
It just happens.
That's the what?
I think sometimes I have a tad bit of like oppositional defiance, even when I'm telling myself I'm going to do a thing. And
I think that's what it is. I think that's where it lies. My like,
you thought, because you actually aren't going to do anything today. So we will see. It'll happen. The rest of the year is coming, whether we're ready for it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Any other final thoughts you would like? Well, I don't want to call them final. We're still halfway through the year.
Any halfway thoughts?
Any half thoughts you have?
Half thoughts? I have a lot, actually, if you'd like to know what they are. What about you? Do you have any, I guess, like up until this point, for the midway of 2024, what is your midway rating?
Yeah. I think in the middle of feeling the feelings and doing the things, I'm hyperbolically at like a 1.
Okay.
I think realistically in the future, end of year me, I am crossing my fingers, looks back and says that this year's closer to a 3.
Ooh, love that.
Minimally speaking, because it's not a 5-star year, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's why you're in your Saturn return. You have a lot going on. I'm at a 3.5, and I'm hoping when I look back, it'll be a 4.5.
I love that. You know, we'd be great on a curve.
Yeah. So really, you're at a, like, if we're doing a 3.5 out of 5, if that's the curve, you're actually kind of like at a 3.5.
I hope so. I really hope that that's what the curve says at the end of the year.
Love that.
Because in the moment, in the trenches, it's not feeling that way at all.
Love it.
Oh, goodness. Well, Emma, are you ready for our
rapid fire question? I have 2 potential questions because I can't remember if we asked this one before, but I feel like we haven't. Oh, maybe we should just come with 2 questions. Do you have enough to do 2 questions?
I have over 2,000, so yeah.
I was going to say, let's do 2 questions because it's our midway. It's our end of season 4. Season finale question number 1 is, if animals could talk, which one would be the sassiest?
A cat.
Cats? Really?
Cats.
Isaac, what do you think?
Honestly, I think fish.
You said fish.
Fish are dumb.
You said fish are dumb. For some reason, I really feel like either seagulls would be really sassy or squirrels would be really sassy.
I could see a squirrel being really sassy. I think seagulls are really abrasive. You know, like, what's that movie? Finding Nemo? Mine?
Yeah.
I just feel like that would actually be a seagull all the time. just like in your face. Maybe it's because of Scuttle from The Little Mermaid.
Scuttle,
but I see a seagull in my face all the time is what I think would happen. Can I have that fry? Fry?
Yeah.
Fry?
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 Fry mine? Mine fry? Sandwich? Sandwich mine?
Okay, my question today is, do you have a piggy bank?
I actually do. It's not shaped like a piggy, though. It's boring. I used to, as a kid, I had a piggy bank. Mine is like it's round. It's a cylinder. And on the front, it says, when this is full, you'll have saved, I think it's like, is it 100,000 yen, which is like $1,000, essentially. But you can only put 500 coins in it. I mean, I'm only putting 500 coins in it because that's the whole premise of it. But Isaac was putting other coins in it, so there's probably going to be a little less than 100,000. We had a whole conversation. It's fine. We've gotten over it. But yes, that is my piggy bank. Do you have
my defense? It was when I first moved here, and I did not understand it yet.
No one can hear you. It's okay. Next.
I do have a piggy bank. It is also not shaped like a pig.
What is it shaped like?
I don't want to tell you. It's a secret.
Okay. Okay. My second question is, what is a random skill / party trick that you've always wanted to learn?
Moving my ears. I saw it on a commercial for a Disney movie thinking that people could actually move their ears. I don't think you really can. I think it was just like special effects. But like, if I could learn it, I would want to learn how to like move my ears. It was literally like a character who like moved their ears as if they were trying to fly away.
Oh, I was like, people can move their ears. But you mean like independently, right? Like not using their skull to move their ears?
No, I mean like flapping their
ears. Oh, flap their ears.
Like the musculature of your face doesn't allow that to happen.
Even oh, it just doesn't. People
who can like, it just doesn't do that. And me being a child did not realize that like, that's just not how faces work.
That would so be I thought so it was fun, a though.
Skill that I could obtain. So that would be what I would want to be able to do.
Oh, okay. I love that. Mine would be like playing the guitar. Like I would just love to like pick up a guitar and like just play
to be that guy at a party.
Yeah, exactly. That's my party trick. I want everyone to karaoke around me. Okay, what's your second RFQ? Second and last one for season 4.
Do you prefer toast or biscuit for breakfast?
Oh, it's hard. I like both in very specific instances, but a preference would probably be biscuits because I can make toast at home. I can also make biscuits at home. I understand that, but there's something about a biscuit that just like it hits differently. You can eat a biscuit with gravy. You can eat a biscuit with jelly. You can eat a biscuit with butter. You can eat a biscuit with honey.
But it's also so much easier to mess up a biscuit, I feel like.
Because then you're very close into scone territory.
Scone or just dry?
Yeah. What is, what's your preference? I've had so many
dry biscuits. My preference is toast, mostly because it's very hard to mess up toast.
Mm.
I will get a biscuit if I trust that establishment to make said biscuit.
Right.
But for the most part, like my go-to is it's going to be toast just because like you please mess up this toast if you want to. And I will leave the worst Yelp review you have ever seen because how did you mess up toast?
What's your favorite toast type and then toast topping?
Usually it is wheat bread with butter and apple jelly.
Yum.
Both. Specifically,
what if they don't have apple?
Well, then they suck. Just kidding, most places don't actually have it, but I go with grape actually.
Ew, that's a choice.
Yeah, I don't really like strawberry.
My to-go jelly is strawberry, a berry of any kind.
Yeah, I don't really mess with berries, they're sour.
Not as a jelly.
Nah, I can still taste the betrayal. Well, it's so great checking in with 2024, and I'm so excited to see the final scores at the end of the year. But until then, Emma, where can people find the podcast?
You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to catch up with season 4 or any of our other previous seasons, you can also find us on any of your favorite streaming platforms. We hope to see you next time in season 5. Bye!